This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Propax Gold with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about the new Lancet study that purports to tell us that low-carb diets are going to kill us. And of interest is that the very self-same Lancet last year published another study, a bigger study by far, because the study in question that says that low-carb diets are not good for you was about 5,000 plus individuals over a period of 25 years. Here's a study that involves 135,000 individuals. It's called the PURE study. It's in the very same medical journal and was published last year. Here's what they found. Again, they were looking for the outcome of total mortality, where the patients were going to die, but also major cardiovascular events, which include fatal heart attacks, or even non-fatal heart attacks, strokes, and heart failure. And here's what they found. They found that higher carbohydrate intake was associated with increased risk of dying, and intake of total fat was associated with a lower risk of dying. Even higher saturated fat was associated with a lower risk of stroke. Total fat and saturated and unsaturated fats were not significantly associated with a risk of heart attack or cardiovascular disease death. And so that study really spoke to high carbohydrate intake, which agrees, by the way, with the study in question, because, well, the right-hand side of the U, the U-shaped curve of mortality in the recent study is for people consuming greater than 70% of their calories in carbohydrates. So there you have a paper that directly, it refutes the idea that eating a lot of animal fat is bad for you. So there's also something called the Cochrane Collaboration, which is a very prestigious outfit that kind of is the tiebreaker in matters related to medical science. And a few weeks ago, a systematic review carried out by researchers from the Cochrane Collaboration revealed that when comparing all randomized trials of low-fat versus low-carbohydrate diets for type 2 diabetes, the low-carb diets were significantly more effective in the short term and better in the long term for controlling blood glucose and improving all cardiovascular risk factors. So that's a rigorous assessment by, this, believe me, Cochrane Collaborative does not give its seal of approval to things very easily, and is no great fan of radical nutritional programs. And yet they had to concede that the low-carb diet was a significant tool against what is probably the single biggest scourge that affects the West in terms of a pathway to degenerative disease and death, which is metabolic syndrome. It's estimated that virtually half or 60% of Americans have to some degree a propensity towards metabolic syndrome. That leads to not just diabetes and heart disease and stroke, but also inflammatory disorders and even many cancers. So you know, there you have it. That is what this Lancet study is doing, is it's undermining a significant tool that could help the industrialized countries of the world reverse a very dire trend towards many degenerative diseases. Now, I'm pretty good at taking apart scientific articles, but I have to give credit to some of my peers because they have been all over this Lancet study, looking at it with a fine-tooth comb, and they understand statistics, and they understand how studies can be manipulated. And I'm going to give a shout-out to Angela Stanton, PhD, at a website called ClueLessDoctors.com. And she points out something very interesting that I think is a fatal flaw in this Lancet study. And what they did is that, I'm going to read a quote from the article itself. "We did not update carbohydrate exposures of participants that developed heart disease, diabetes, and stroke before visit 3. They say to reduce potential confounding from changes in diet that could arise from the diagnosis of these diseases." So, if you're studying mortality, the risk of dying, and you exclude from that analysis people who have heart disease, diabetes, and stroke, how are you going to have a legitimate study evaluating the impact of carbohydrates? Because those are precisely the medical conditions that a low-carbohydrate diet could alleviate. So she writes, and I'm quoting, So those who ate a lot of carbohydrates and developed diabetes, stroke, heart disease during the study were excluded? This does not reduce confounding changes, but actually increases them. That is because the very thing they are studying is how carbohydrates influence health and longevity. That is, no diabetes, no strokes, no heart disease. By excluding those that actually ended up with them, completely changes the outcome to the points the authors are trying to make rather than reflecting the reality. So, that is a huge problem with the study. So also, if we, and this again is somebody who is looking very carefully at the statistics, which sometimes make my eyes glaze over. So in the study, you want to make a conclusion about low-carb diets. So by using the cutoff point of 40% or less for low-carb diets, please try and follow me here, you're going to get about roughly maybe 2,500 people out of the 15,000 are on the low-carb diet. So that maybe that's enough to give you some kind of statistical significance. However, if you they just cut it off at 40%. What if you cut it off at 30%, less than 30% carbohydrates, which is approaching a low-carb diet? I mean, I would consider a low-carb diet less than 20% in carbohydrates or even less. So for the purposes of this study, only 315 people were following a low-carb diet that was less than 30% in carbs. So that's hardly representative and doesn't give you a lot of statistical robustness to be confident that your conclusion that a low-carb diet is really causing bad results here. So it seems to me that this study was designed and manipulated to arrive at a foregone conclusion, which is circling the wagons on our current dietary recommendations, which are for lowering our intake of animal protein, increasing our intake of plant protein, and fruits, vegetables, nuts, polyunsaturated oils, low-fat dairy. This is sort of the predominant nutritional dogma these days. And the way that they sliced and diced the data here, it appears that they were trying to defend a dying nutritional paradigm, there are more and more people these days who are embracing low-carb diets. And I would caution them because, you know, sometimes embracing a low-carb diet means that you end up eating a lot of fat and meat to the exclusion of healthier, healthy foods, not necessarily healthier foods, but healthy foods. And so I think there's some darker aspects to our low-carb infatuation. It's sort of unleashing the inner carnivore of a lot of Americans who for a while were restricting their intake of meat. Now, you know, low-carb diet is permissive of that. But a low-carb diet has to be undertaken with care because you can't, you know, eat your cake and have it. You can't eat cake at all. You know, if you're going to have animal protein and animal fat, you really have to dramatically curtail your intake of sugar and refined carbohydrates. I think another problem with this study, and, you know, it really should have been done, but maybe it was beyond the scope of the study, but they did garner a lot of nutritional data, and I wonder what ended up happening with it, is that they just talked about carbohydrates, you know, like low carb, moderate carb, high carb. What about talking about the quality of carbohydrates? What about talking about considerations like the fiber content of the carbohydrates, the naturalness of the carbohydrates, whether they were refined, whether the carbohydrates were from sugar or whether they were from fresh fruit, whether they were from starchy vegetables, whether the starchy vegetables were in a whole form such as potatoes versus French fries or instant mashed potatoes. Or if they're talking about whole grains, you know, steel-cut oats versus Cheerios, you know, that are coated with sugar, you know, like in a lot of kids' breakfast cereals. So I think they missed the boat there because the data must have been gathered, as poor as it is, from the recall of people who can't remember, you know, how many glasses of orange juice did I drink, you know, in 1989. I can't remember. Can you? This information, I think, would help us discriminate among the carbs, you know, to determine, you know, which of the carbs was most implicated in creating a problem. Not all carbs are as bad, although, you know, certainly for some people, they need radical carb restriction of all kinds. They say, well, can I have, you know, whole grain bread? Well, no, you can't have a lot of whole grain bread because it's a flour product. I tell people who have prediabetes or metabolic syndrome or desirous of losing weight, I say, eat as if the flour mill had never been invented. That's kind of a paleo rule. I think where we got off on the wrong track in human evolution is not because we invented carbs. It's just that the carbs we used to eat were laboriously pounded, wild, gathered grains that, they, you know, involved a lot of caloric expenditure in terms of getting them, pounding them, and preparing them. And B, they're very high fiber. They release their carbohydrate content in a very slow fashion. There's a lot of satiety value to very high fiber foods. And they were limited. And you couldn't just go to the supermarket, fill up your shopping cart with all manner of highly refined, scrumptious, delicious, flavor-enhanced, you know, muffins and pastry. It's not about carbohydrate avoidance completely, although I think there is a case to be made for ketogenic diets, which actually put people into ketosis. But low-carb diets with inclusion of the right kind of carbohydrates, especially when associated with high energy output in people who exercise, can really be beneficial. So I think that the greatest harm that is perpetrated by studies like this, and also the uncritical press parroting of these studies, because I really have to fault the press, because, you know, here I am I'm just a solo guy, you know, I don't have a newsroom, I don't have a research department, I don't have the platform of a major newspaper. The science reporting on this really was abysmal, because, you know, even in journalism, you know, and I took journalism in junior high school and high school, and we learned that the principle of journalism was that, you know, you get a story, and President Trump says so-and-so. Well, then you go to the other party. You go to Nancy Pelosi or you go to Chuck Schumer, and you get a counterstatement, and you get a, quote, balanced story. And so in the reportage on this, by, you know, even the most eminent newspapers in the country, you know, the Times, the Wall Street Journal, there just wasn't that outreach to people in the nutrition community who could say, well, you know, there's flaws with the study, and there's a different viewpoint. It's as if they're in a rush to publish, and because, I don't know, maybe their newspapers are, you know, under budgetary constraints here, and they can't afford to have enough people to vet stories and, you know, hire science reporters of good quality. Who can spend the time, you know, maybe they're up against a deadline, like the story just broke, we got to publish it, here's a press release, boom, you know, let's just incorporate the language, a couple of quotes, let's get on the phone with a researcher, let's get a soundbite, boom, you know, we got a news story. But there's not enough balance to inform the public about the complexity of the issue, and that this is not settled science, that this is not the last word. And what it's going to do, and I've actually, some people have emailed me, and, you know, I've even socially met people, and then they kind of nudge me a little bit and say, yeah, you know, did you see that study about carbs? And I have a friend who's a big fan of, you know, his hobby in retirement is to go to ice cream stores and to review them. And, you know, he's a good buddy of mine, but he always kids me about my dietary stringency. Yeah, and he's overweight, and but he doesn't care. He's sort of letting it all hang out. And he sent me that story. He says, I guess you've seen this, haven't you? Ha, 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 you know, about the low-carb diet. And, you know, he's kind of poking me in the ribs a little bit about it. And what that story will do is that will give him license, and other people perhaps who are sitting on the fence, license to go out there and, you know, have that plate of pasta or, you know, have that dessert of that extra rich chocolate cake, because after all, moderation, that's the key word here. You know, hit the sweet spot at the bottom of the U-shaped curve, and you're going to do better than us, you know, anorexic, obsessive, low-carb advocates. Well, it really isn't that way. And different strokes for different folks, and this story doesn't really reflect that. So I think it's going to do more harm than good, and I hope it won't be invoked. I think it's also going to be embraced by the vegan community. And, you know, there's something to be said for a carefully executed vegetarian diet for certain people. I'm not inalterably opposed to it, but as a general policy, it's not necessarily the way to go. This study, I think, is going to put wind in the sails of the vegan acolytes. People who say, you know, lots of starchy vegetables are okay for you. Just make sure you cut the fat, cut the animal protein, and that's a healthy way to go. For some people, metabolically, that is a disaster. I've seen many of these vegetarians or vegans who have metabolic syndrome because they're consuming lots and lots and lots of carbohydrates, even from healthy sources, very low fat, no animal protein whatsoever. Metabolically, they're a disaster. When we send them for ultra-fast CT scanning of their arteries, their arteries are filled with plaque, their carotid arteries are blocked. They, in the absence of animal protein, or saturated fat, they have prediabetes, full-blown diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. And you know, it's not necessarily a bulwark against all misfortune, as this study would suggest. So thanks for listening, and I hope that you found this worthwhile. I just had to vent, even though it's vacation time. Now you can go back to stand-up paddleboarding or whatever you're doing in the last few remaining days of summer. Enjoy, relax, restore, feel good, and squeeze the last remaining measure out of the summer season. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.